In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Hello.
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 Hello. How are you?
Hola.
Wonderful.
Very good. Why are you wonderful today?
Why not?
Because you happen to be in alignment today.
Right.
Or you happen to be in alignment this moment. Because the day doesn't really matter. It's the moment that matters. Because there is no anything else but the moment. It's only the moment that ever matters. And so you're either in alignment in this moment or you're focused somewhere else. Now, do you have any control over that? Where you're focused?
Yes.
Allegedly.
Do you think you have control, or do you think that sometimes you have control and sometimes you have no control whatsoever?
I always have control.
Well, you always have control because you always have the ability to think whatever you want to think.
Yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Now, if things are going good and you're in alignment and everything seems to be working out for you and you're feeling good, you're in a good mood, everything's happening well, then it's easy to be in alignment because the conditions are reflecting back how you feel and you're agreeing with the conditions as they reflect back and you're not in a manifestation event. You're in no serious jeopardy in this moment. Everything's going well. And then you think a thought, and that thought brings up negative emotion. So what do you do from that point on? You have two choices. You can drop out of alignment, receive urges to change the conditions, get into a state of fear, ramp up that fear, talk to your friends about the fear, think more about the fear, research the fear, get on some petitions to outlaw the fear, change the conditions of your fear, or you can say, hold on, that's a fear. It's irrational because the subject of the fear won't kill me. It's a negative emotion. Something changed in my vibration that brought forth this thought, and this thought did not align with how my inner self was perceiving reality, my reality. My inner self is perceiving my reality. My inner self is my guidance system. My inner self knows every thought I've ever thought. My inner self knows everything that I want. My inner self knows that I'm receiving everything that I want. My inner self knows that I'm on the path to receiving everything that I want, everything that I truly want. My inner self knows there is no such thing as wrong or bad, that there is no danger, that everything is working out perfectly. However, somehow, my vibration adjusted, and I received this thought, and as I received this thought, I felt a negative emotion, a twinge of negative emotion. Well, that is the beginning of your guidance system right there. That is when you say, I shall not entertain this thought. I shall change my vibration and receive a new thought. Or I shall change my perspective so that that thought no longer becomes a negative thought for me, no longer gives me that negative emotion, no longer influences me or builds momentum. And as I receive the thought, I process that thought. You can process every thought that comes up. Now, most of the thoughts that come up don't matter. They're in line with your overall good vibration. They're in line with how your inner self sees your life. Most of your thoughts feel good to you. the occasional thought will come in, and that's when you get a chance to practice what you are learning here. You see, this is just a practice. You are gradually unlearning the old approach to life, right. Unlearning everything you've learned before, everything you were taught, realizing that you have nothing really to fear, realizing that everything is working out for you, realizing that things that happen to other people are for those people and not something that you're here to experience. When you receive a thought, maybe there's some danger, you can process that thought. You see, most people accept that there's danger, accept that they're the victim, accept that bad things can happen to them, accept that there is such a thing as bad. Most people go along life, living through the old approach, in fear. And this fear is in direct contradiction to everything they want. It's the thing that's literally holding back the manifestation of those things they truly want. And that's why they're scurrying around trying to do things to protect themselves and to make things happen. You know a new approach to life. You are practicing a different way of looking at reality. You understand what your emotions mean. You get to play around with those emotions so that at the time of the first negative emotion, you can process it. You don't have to talk to your friends about it. You don't have to bring it up again and again and again. You don't have to dwell on it. You can analyze it. And you say to yourself, this is an irrational fear. This is not happening to me. This is not part of my journey. Let's analyze it and let's process it and let's put it in proper perspective. And then let's get back into alignment. Get back to alignment. Now, if you do this, you know what's going to happen? Your beliefs will be modified as they need to be in the perfect timing so that you can receive everything that you want. And it will not be necessary for any of those big manifestation events that you don't want to have. Right? That you fear so much. There won't be any over-the-top dramatic events happening in your life. They can be put off. They can be diffused. The thought is the first manifestation event. The physical happening in reality is the next manifestation event. The chronic disease is the next manifestation event. The car accident is the next manifestation event. Why not start at the beginning? Why not make it easy? Why not just go with the flow of the system, how it works, where nothing is wrong and everything's happening for you? If you can do that, then this life becomes easy, simple, makes more sense, and you'll manifest everything you truly want as if by magic. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, do you have control of your alignment?
Yes.
How about when something terrible happens?
Yes. I've got perspective.
Yeah.
You have control, although it's like saying, do you have control of the car when it's flying down the cliff? Well, you can move the steering wheel, you can pump the brakes, but when you're in it, you're in it, right? Yeah. And so we say, before you get in it, prepave a little bit. Set up the little things. Work on the little things. Work on the little negative thoughts. The little hurt feelings. The little doubts. The little worries. Work on those things so that by the time you get to some big manifestation event, you have a better awareness of where your power lies. And your power lies completely within your ability to see what's really happening in the moment. And if you can see what's really happening in the moment, then you can realize, oh, this is a belief that I do not need. This is a belief that is not serving me. This is a belief that I can process and work on. And once I do, I get to become a vibrational match to this and this and this and this. And once I become a match to this and this and this, then these things flow into my life. So let's work on the little stuff. Who has something to talk about?
I do.
Excellent.
So I liked what you said earlier about you can change the thought or you can change the way that you feel about the thought. I've had I feel like I've been getting a lot of practice at processing anger. It's been something that's coming up in me. I've been feeling a lot of anger, not the past couple, not today, I guess, but in the previous couple weeks. And I've noticed a lot of people around me are feeling anger, which I guess is probably just law of attraction because I'm feeling it. I'm noticing it in other people. But and it's with my kids, to where I realize that maybe I could be doing better pre-paving. But once I'm in the situation, it feels like I'm going down the cliff. Like I'm completely aware that I choose my own thoughts and feelings, that I have control over my own alignment, but it doesn't feel like it in those moments. Well, it does, but it feels like I'm like hanging on by a fingernail, you know, and that is not a comfortable way to be. And so I've been practicing changing the way that I see it. Like, cause it felt really bad. And then I was mad at myself for being mad. And then all of these things and just spiraling, and it was silly. And I knew it was silly and it didn't even feel true, but it still felt bad.
Well, isn't it interesting that in the midst of the anger, you realize exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
And isn't that an accomplishment? Isn't that something wonderful? That you know the process. You know the mechanism of all of this. And you understand that in this time, you're just not seeing things the way your inner self is seeing them. And so you're having a disagreement with your inner self. And unfortunately, your inner self is always right. So when you're having a disagreement with someone that you know is always right, then you just get frustrated because you can't win.
Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with being angry.
It's
you're noticing a limiting belief. What's the limiting belief? Which is the quick off the top of your head limiting
which
belief?
One?
You're angry at your children, and the limiting belief is causing you to perceive danger, and that danger is not real. And so the illusion of danger brings up fear. And so you get angry because you want them to be different so that you can feel safe. So what's the limiting belief? The limiting belief is?
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of different levels to it. Like sometimes it's the fear of being seen, you know, of how their behavior will reflect on me is what it ultimately is, even though that's not what
That's a good one.
But
that's a good one because it's obvious it's a limiting belief. No matter what people think of you as a mother, you can't die.
Right.
Yet, in your mind, you could say, if I'm perceived as a bad mother, then they could be taken away. I could be sanctioned in some sense. I could be punished. Something could happen from it, right? Or at the very least, I could be scorned.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's something you don't want. And you think, if they behaved, or if I was perceived as a good mother, then I would be liked, I would feel secure, knowing they couldn't be taken away from me. I would get the praise of people saying, oh, you're such a good mother, which would make me feel good, because it would be a reflection of who I am choosing to perceive myself as. It's a reflection of my persona. It's a validation of this persona that I'm using to define myself by. It would make me feel like I'm successful in some way, right? But that's true of anything.
So,
that's true of you.
Well,
if you had a career, if you were in a marriage for 50 years, if you were doing anything that conformed with society.
Yeah, and it's something that because of these conversations, like I'm moving through, like that fear is less than, like I know, I can see it even when I'm doing it or like acting it out that it's bullshit. So for me, so what's the limiting belief? Like maybe that it's not okay. I feel like it's not even that I'm afraid that other people are going to see me as a bad mom. It's that I know that I'm doing these things because of that fear and I'm still doing them and it pisses me off. And then I feel bad. And then I like see that I'm like trying to change my kids and that feels bad and it just like compounds.
Yes,
so it's not even the actual limiting.
Yeah. You're in the middle of it all. You're right in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
So you're on one hand wanting to be perceived as a mom, on the other hand, knowing that that doesn't mean anything, on the third hand, wanting to be authentic, on the fourth hand, knowing that you're being inauthentic when you care about how people perceive you. So yeah. You're like layers and layers and layers of stuff that most people don't get to process. Most people just go ahead with their persona and say, you can't shut up. You're making me look bad.
Sometimes I wish I could. I don't know. Forget. Yeah.
Well, you chose to have a little bit more of a deeper experience of reality.
Yeah.
And it was an agreement you made with your children.
Yeah.
Right? And they, and everyone else. And they get the, this wonderful experience of being raised by someone who is conscious and someone who is trying and someone who is embracing that there might be a different philosophy to life. Yep. Yeah. And no one said it was going to be easy except us, but no one believed when we said that.
Yeah.
But isn't it interesting at least?
It is. It is definitely, interesting. Yeah. Okay. So here's another situation. Oh, go ahead.
Well, what happens if you make it through this? What happens to you as a person if you get a handle on this? You're just starting this. Imagine you as a person who is now powerful enough to realize that all of these are irrational fears, that your true desire is to be authentic, that nothing bad can happen to you, and you've proved it over and over and over again, and that one day you get over that fear, or at least that fear isn't as intense because you've done the work on the limiting beliefs. What happens then? Do you see how powerful you're going to be at that stage? Do you see the difference between who you were 3 years ago and who you're going to be in 3 years from now? Yeah. It's going to be mind-blowing. And you're going to feel better than ever. You still won't be done, of course. But the difference, most people go through their lives and they can look back and say, well, they haven't really changed. Do people really change? They haven't really changed. Well, they haven't changed because they've never analyzed their beliefs before. They've never looked at their persona before. They've never looked at why they're here and their purpose of reality before. They just kept doing what everyone's doing, and so they don't really change. Of course, they change, but it doesn't look like they've changed, right? Here you have a chance to have radically changed from 3 years ago, to radically change in three more years, to being a powerful leverager of universal forces, to create something that you truly want to create, that only through this process of being who you were when you were born, being who you were when you were five, being who you were when you're 10, 15, 20, 25, having the children, having the divorce, having all these things happen to you, being interested in this subject, and then working on yourself day in, day out, like nobody else has, to get to this point where now things start to make a little more sense. Now you're starting to move in the direction that you've always wanted to. Now things are unfolding, and still you're not done. Yep. So did you want to talk about something more specific?
Yeah, well, okay, so here's something else that I don't know how to stay aligned in these moments. So a lot of people, and probably a lot of people on this call, I've noticed that I am just sensitive to lights and sounds and other people's feelings and all of these things. And okay, that's great. And I'm learning how to navigate that. And I thankfully have two wonderful little teachers to immerse me in that. And all of those sensations, sometimes all of the same, all at the same time, these extreme feelings and these loud sounds and what I'm seeing is that I just had my long weekend with them. So 5 days and it was good and we had lots of fun and I was constantly recalibrating my focus onto the good parts of it. But there was a lot of just extreme mood swings on everybody's part, but me trying to allow them to have their feelings and manage my own in the process and not try to manage theirs and all of these different things. And it just felt like a fucking lot. And so by the end of this 5 days, I just feel worn thin and why I want to crawl out of my skin. And so I was in the kitchen and it was a mess and I was trying to clean it up and trying to make lunch and trying to do all the things. And they were playing with a ball and they were laughing and playing and having fun. And it came, the ball came into the kitchen, knocked all this, one of my piles off of the counter, which knocked into a glass, which knocked into another. And it was this whole cacophony. And it was, I just screamed. I was fuck, 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 you know? And it was just,
I don't know. So I don't know how to stay alive in those moments because it just feels like too much.
Yep. Well, you're in it. Imagine us looking down from non-physical. Do you think your inner self felt that way? If this was on TV and people in this group got to watch that, they're all imagining it in their heads right now. Do you think they felt that, or do you think they felt amused? Right. Do you think they felt, oh, poor Kyla, or do you think they felt, oh, lucky Kyla? You know, how fun is this? How fun is this? How fun is it? Because they're not in it. From the higher perspective, you're just not in it. And so from the higher perspective, you can stay aligned. And in that alignment, it's a funny scene. It's a wonderful family scene. There's nothing wrong with it at all, right? So you're in it. And so if you're in it and you get emotional and you get upset and you get angry and you think it's too much, then stop it if you like, because you're the one in it. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course, ever. You can handle being in it as much as you can. And you don't have to be in it any more than you can handle, certainly. And so you can put limits on them. But what you're practicing is allowing. You're practicing allowing. You're practicing allowing until it gets too much, right? And then you say stop. And then you practice more, practice more, and say stop. Practice more, stop. And then you can set limits for yourself. It's really for yourself what you can handle.
Yeah.
Right? And then you can say, it's time to be locked in your room until the kitchen clean, and then we'll release you. Okay? Mommy can only handle so much of you little devils.
You're talking about everybody being amused from the outside looking in, and my beautiful little devils were amused, like in that moment. They were like hiding.
Aligned. They were having, see, they weren't tied to any of the difficulty that you were tied to. You had to do this. You had to do that. They didn't have to do anything but play with the ball, right? They didn't have to clean the kitchen. They didn't have to pack up anything. They didn't have to get things ready. They didn't have any tables to worry about. They didn't have any things to do later on. They didn't care. They weren't immersed in it. You were the one immersed in it, not them. You're the one who's immersed in it. So you're the one who has to set boundaries only for what you can handle, only because you want to do whatever you can do to maintain your alignment to the best of your ability. And it's not fun for you if you maintain alignment, and then you burst, right?
Because
maintaining alignment is like being like them, having fun and laughing. It's not trying and efforting and working.
Right.
No, you can process what you can process. You can process the day later, the week later. You can think about the scene and how it could be different. Not to blame yourself, but say, if I was to choose how it would be, I would have laughed at this glasses smashing on the floor.
Yeah.
Because the glasses don't mean anything. Nothing means anything. It doesn't mean anything. It just meant 15 minutes of cleaning up. Right?
Yeah.
But in the moment, it seems so big. Like it's such a big deal. Right? That's why get ahead of those manifestation events when they first come up. And they first always come up in the form of a thought. And the first thought was, this was too much. This is too much for me. This is too much. And you're saying to yourself, you're not saying that, no, I can regain alignment. You're saying, no, it isn't too much. I can handle more. I can handle more. I can handle more. I'll work on this. I'll effort my way into handling more. So you came out of alignment. And then you're trying to stay into alignment by efforting and saying that first thought, first negative thought was wrong. Right? Rather than saying, I need to do what I need to do to stay in alignment. If I need to throw them out into the garden and relax, then that's what I need to do. If I need to put them somewhere and relax, that's what I need to do. And that's what that first thought was.
That's helpful. Thank you.
Pay attention to the first thought. Excellent. Can anyone beat that? We didn't think so.
Joshua, I have a question. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi, Joshua. So, you know, I know that I spend most of my time trying to avoid negative emotion. And that's the whole idea about processing fear. But I just want to share what I've been going through the last couple of days, because I find this interesting, because this isn't really something I've wanted to avoid. So on Saturday morning, my longtime companion of 13 and a half years, my dog, Ginger, transitioned. And I've just been like, I've just had moments, like I've had moments where I feel her close to me and I feel love and I see her in a meadow and her tail's wagging and I can see that she's totally happy. So I know the essence of her is, you know, fine. But then, like, you know, I'll come home from going shopping or I'll look towards her bowl because I want to give her some table scraps. And I just feel emotion. It's not emotion that I actually want to avoid. In a way, I feel like it's okay to just let the tears flow. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. And I wanted to ask you about that because I don't need to avoid this. I feel like if I stop my tears, I'm like stopping up the emotion midstream.
Exactly.
So what do you think about that?
So would you say that that is a negative emotion?
No.
Then it's a positive emotion.
Yeah, I just love her so much. I just wish she were here, but I'm not in resistance to what is. I just miss her.
Yes. So, would you have her back? Would you pluck her back from the non-physical into the physical?
Yeah.
And you would have her back in your reality?
Yeah.
When she had died and you resuscitate her? A week later, yeah, she moved back?
What's the trick? What's the trick?
Well, you probably wouldn't, because in reality, the experience that you had with her was this 13-year perspective of her as a puppy, of her as a teenager, of her as an adult, of her as an old woman.
Right.
The whole lifespan of her, right?
Yeah.
And that was the journey of you two together.
Mm-hmm.
If she's with you in your reality, you're a vibrational match to her and she's a match to you. But when she transitions, it's because that relationship has run its course. It's over. You don't want to resuscitate the relationship. You want to go on for more, something more, something more. And in this time right now, you can feel her. You can love her. You can thank her. You can remember the time that you had together. You can imagine her as she's existing in non-physical, as she's with you all the time. You can communicate her in English. She can speak English now. Or French, whatever she spoke before. And you can love that experience. But you don't want to keep the experience going on and on and on and have a 100-year-old dog, you know, being with you. It's run its course from puppy all the way through adulthood to her transition. And that is true of every, not just every relationship, but every possession. Everything is vibrational, and there's a time for it. But you don't want to have the same clothes you had when you were 5 years old. You don't want to have anything, you know, from then. You might hold on to one or two key items from your childhood, but you don't want to drag the entire thing with you. You know, because your life is not about holding on to things. It's about moving through things into new experiences, into the new, into the new, into the new. And humans tend to want to hold on to things, hold on to things.
Yeah.
But you never hold on to anything because everything moves along with you, right? So it's always new anyway. All relationships are new the next day or the next moment. They're always new because you're changing and they're changing. You're changing, and the world's changing. Your vibration's changing. Their vibration's changing at a different rate. The earth's changing at an even different rate. The young people are coming in. The old people are going out. There's nothing wrong with any of that. Just from your perspective as being in it, you think that things will not change. Yeah.
The thing about it is this idea of attachment, right?
Well, attachment has to do with how you perceive yourself within all that you have in your vibration, that's in your physical reality. Okay, so your vibration is at this one set point here, this yeah. moment. Everything that exists in your reality right now, this phone call, the room that you're in, all the possessions, the country where you live, all these things are a match to your vibration right now in the exact state that they are. The state yes. of your relationship with all of the people you know, the state of your health, the state of your finances, the state of your passions, the state of everything. Perfectly perfect reflection of your vibration right now. You're a perfect vibrational match to everything. But you want to expand and raise your vibration. And you expand yes. through every experience, which means, by design, everything should be changing in your life so that you receive wow. more of what you prefer and less of what you do not prefer. The reason you receive anything that you do not prefer is to let you know that that is stuck in your vibration and that you can alter yeah. that by altering your beliefs. It's as simple
if as I
that.
Push through, as I push through my fears.
Well, as you, there's two sides to that. So you have a set of beliefs, beneficial and limiting. The limiting beliefs mm-hmm. are going to cause too much fear so that when you are inspired to something, that fear mm-hmm. will pop up and prevent you from acting on inspiration. Now, mm-hmm. once you've worked on those beliefs and realized that they're false and they do not hold any water, they're not true, then yeah. you lower the intensity of those beliefs. Those beliefs have less power. And so when those beliefs are triggered by mm-hmm. you receiving inspiration to do something, well, now they're not powerful enough to stop you, and you can push through them. So you can either push through them or not push through them. You can push through them by realizing the fears are based on limiting beliefs, and limiting beliefs are false, or you can do the work to reduce the intensity of the beliefs so the fears will be minor. And you'll
and also that the desire, it's in balance with the how strong the desire is.
And also your perspective on life. You know, knowing what you know about universal forces and how the universe works and the law of attraction and why you're a vibrational match to some things and how you're here to perceive yourself at different mm-hmm. stages of your life throughout every experience that you have. Then,
yeah.
then when a relationship ends, you realize it's because something more is coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so there's no need to grieve about anything because that relationship had its purpose. It lasted in yes. its course and you're ready mm-hmm. now for something more. It's a sign that you're ready for something more, whatever that is.
So is that different from like when my relationship with Ginger ends?
It's all exactly the same. Yeah. You don't have to feel grief.
Okay.
When that relationship with Ginger ends, because in essence, no relationship ever ends. You are
so dogs are dogs are animals just absolutely. Like people.
Absolutely.
So they're eternally we're eternally linked to them and absolutely. She's with me all the time.
She's with you right now and she'll be there when you transition.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Excellent.
Yep.
Thank you.
As will everyone else.
I don't have any choice in the matter.
From your perspective, you might think you don't want it, but from the higher perspective of who you really are, you want to maintain relationships with everyone, your best friend and your worst enemy.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Because everyone's just playing a role for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Who can beat that one? Nobody. That was a good one.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
This is Julie.
Hi, Julie.
Hello. I've been pondering this for a little bit. I'm usually able to think about something for for quite a bit of time, and it usually manifests and unfolds beautifully for me. So I've been doing this for a couple years, but or at least for a year straight, and it's worked out. But I've kind of had my mindset and this feeling that I'm going to be working at this one place I really want to work and teach classes at and kind of get rid of one that is okay and I enjoy it, but I think I'm ready for a change. However, it's not really unfolding the way I wanted to. In fact, when I called the lady that works there, and I'm like, oh, I'm really interested in teaching there. She's like, I think we're all good to go. We don't really need anybody. And I was like, you know, like, what just happened here? I thought it was going to unfold magically the way I wanted it to. I've been thinking about this. And why do I still have a feeling like I will still work there and I want to work there and it'll all come out? Is it just timing and it's I want it so bad?
Give us an example of something you've manifested. Give us an example of manifesting a child.
Oh, my gosh. Takes a lot more than manifesting.
Have you manifested a child in your life?
Yes.
Okay. Did you think about the child beforehand?
Yes, here's one right now talking to me. Just a second. Yes.
Did you want a child?
Yes.
And did you think about it?
Yes.
And were you inspired to the action that would bring forth the child?
Yeah.
And did you want the child to manifest instantly?
Sort of. Well, there's a bit of excitement, I guess, but
you didn't
want
to wait the 9 months that normal people wait?
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. So did the child come?
Yes.
And was it the perfect timing, or did you want it to be a different time?
It's always the perfect timing.
And so did you have faith during those 9 months that the child would come?
Yeah.
And did you name the child?
Yes.
And did everything work out?
Yes.
So that, and what was the feeling of having the child? Why did you want a child?
Gosh, I don't know now, but no, I'm just kidding. just thought it would complete our family, what I thought I wanted to experience.
Right. And did you think the child would make you feel worthy?
Probably then, not so much now.
Or prove that you were good at something? Or that you were a good person?
I think I just wanted to learn from the whole experience.
So that if you can do that with a child, you can do that with anything. But realize there is a time period. Because you do not want everything you want the second you want it. You want to become a match to it. And becoming a match to a child requires 9 months of vibrational transformation. Mm. And becoming a match to any desire you want. If you can become a match to lunch in a minute. You can become a match to a phone call to a friend in a second. But other things take a little more time. The universe needs a little more time to change you, to put things in order, and to make sure you're ready for what you want. Because you think you know what you want. You think it would be fun to work at this place. But did you come here to work at that place? Did you come to Physical Reality? My sole intention is to come to Physical Reality so I can work at this one place.
No.
What was your intention then? If you didn't come here to work at that place, what was your intention?
To have fun and enjoy life and experience life.
And express yourself through your body, through physical activity, to be a teacher, things like that.
Right. Right.
So from your perspective, it seems like that is an answer there, that one place. And so you say, well, that just seems like the logical place because this is sort of what I do and this place seems great. But you don't know all the inside stuff. You don't know the people. You don't know all that stuff. You don't have enough information. Let the universe bring it to you. This place, this idea of the place, the idea that you have this inspiration to talk to them might lead you to this disappointment of not getting it and thinking, why? Why don't I have it? And that might lead you to something else that you never would have had. And so if you could be open to, you don't know how it's going to work out, the inspiration came for me to contact them. But that's just the first step. It doesn't mean that you truly want to be there or you truly think that's the end-all be-all. It could lead to you working somewhere else, working some other kind of thing, getting some other certification, or even opening your own business or doing something completely different. You don't know. But what you can know for sure is that inspiration to act caused you to make the phone call or make the introduction, talk to the person, and take that first step. Then you see what happens. You're open. Maybe I get the job there. Maybe something else happens. I'll wait for more inspiration. I'll call them again. And out of the blue, something will happen. Out of the blue, something amazing will happen. You just watch. Out of the blue, you'll find out you're pregnant. Out of the blue, you'll find out it's a boy. out of the blue, it'll come.
Mm. Well, how much of it, like, I'm always wondering this, and maybe we've explained this time and time again, and I just haven't listened, but how much of it do we have control over? Like, what is there a set plan for us, and then yet we're able to control it? Maybe I keep thinking things aren't lining up because it's not supposed to happen for me. Like you said, maybe inside there, the boss who operates it's not, like, good, or they don't like where they're, I don't know. Maybe there's just stuff I don't realize, and maybe the universe is kind of trying to push me away from that. Like, you really don't want to work there, but, like, how, I don't understand how much I really have control over, or how much there is definitely, like, a plan for you.
We'll say that you don't want to have control over anything because you don't have enough information. It's like saying you do not really want to fly the plane because you don't know how to fly a plane. You just want to get to Dallas. That's all you want to do, right? You want to sit in that back seat, have a few pretzels, have a soda, and get to Dallas. That's all you care about. You do not want to fly the plane because you crash the damn plane. Okay? You would end up somewhere else besides Dallas. What you want to do is have faith that it's all working out. Now, who put you on the plane to Dallas? Well, you did. You did either from a desire that you birthed while you're here or a desire that was intended prior to your birth. Right? And if you look at yourself, what you're interested in, what you look like, how your body is, your natural talents and attributes, the natural things that make it, you know, make you you, well, you can know that you weren't here to be a sumo wrestler, for instance, right? That wouldn't make sense. Yeah. But what you are doing makes sense for you. And how did that happen? How did that magically happen? You know, so yes, you have this inspiration which is sent to you, and you act on the inspiration because you feel worthy of teaching there. But that job is not going to be, or might be, but you don't know, the thing that gives you the feelings you want. Now, what's the feeling you want? Can you address that? Can you articulate that?
Yeah, I just think it'd be exciting, new faces, and to also be able to share the knowledge. I think I have a lot to offer. Okay. And I think teaching there, I'd have a new scope of
you. How is this place different than any other place?
Probably that it's new. Mm-hmm. I like new things. Okay. I like new people, new environments. Sometimes I just get bored when I'm doing the same things every week.
Okay, so think about the newness of things. Now, is this place going to be new when you're working there for 5 years?
Well, who says I'm going to be working there 5 years? But
imagine if it was, right? It would be not new anymore. You know.
Right, so, and I can handle that one day a week.
Yeah.
This is usually what I do everywhere else.
Right, so think about the new thing that you like, right? Think more about newness, and how you can get the newness into things. And realize that being there is going to satisfy the newness for about however long it does, 6 months or whatever it does, right? But the newness is something that you're interested in. Let's keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. And realize that newness is always good, always good. You're here to experience newness, all of you. You want to hold on to a lot of things because, you know, it's the fear of the new, the fear of the unknown. But you're here for more and new and different and exciting and interesting and not safety and not security and not holding on to the past. So this is one avenue of newness, but there are endless avenues of newness. You don't know how it's going to come. Be patient. It's probably going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
We have a wild guess that something new is going to happen for you. I'm pretty sure, yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Excellent. Who else wants to talk about something new? Is there anything new happening to anyone?
Hi, Will. This is Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve. What's
Hi, Joshua. Well, sorry if there's a little bit of background noise. I'm at a Starbucks.
Are you washing dishes at Starbucks?
No. I'm actually walking outside now. It's a little bit less noise. Okay. I wanted to talk about, like, it's on, I guess, theme with the call today about newness. And I am at a point where I feel like I'm more and more being pushed towards like releasing attachment to everything. And hold on, there's an alarm. Ah!
Oh, I think she muted.
Uh-oh.
That I was might... just laughing.
Oh, thank God.
Is that a reflection of my vibration?
Our vibrations.
Yeah. Thank God you're okay.
I've been living in Austin for about 8 months now, and my lease is going to be up on 8/18. And I just had, like, it caused a manifestation event for me because I'm like, what am I going
to
do next?
What do you
Where
want to do
am I going to go next?
Where do you want to go?
I don't have anything, not anything, but I don't have like any feelings about anything or any like that would be exciting or I want to go there. I think anyways.
Would you like to experience something new?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So what would be something new for you?
Well, so the day that happened, I had the inspiration I had the idea to post something on Facebook for Deborah Jo, and her immediate response was like, come to Florida. And I've been sitting with it now for a week or so. And so that's where I'm at. Like,
perfect. Go to Florida.
Is she gone?
Well, that was easy.
Florida.
What's did I miss that?
Perfect.
Yes, you missed it.
Go to Florida. I think she got it.
I'm here.
Good. Go to Florida.
Just take go to Florida. But and the more
when,
that I think
when
about
you get
it,
to Florida,
like,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
When you get to Florida, then you can just go to the next place, and then to the next place, and then the next place. Imagine that.
I have been imagining that, but then I also don't want to get attached to what I plan or what I think will happen or what I
right.
could do.
Perfect. Perfect.
So it seems like, okay, it's not perfect, but I mean, it would require me to just sell all my things and go on a whim and just carry, like, and I've never lived like that.
Yes, most people haven't, but imagine how free that is. Imagine how people would love to be able to do that if they could, but they can't because they're trapped by their possessions and their relationships and their jobs and their responsibilities. Imagine if they could do that, though.
Do it.
Imagine if they could do it just for 6 months. You don't have to do it forever. Just that one time. Imagine the experiences. Imagine the growth.
Yeah. Here goes another fire truck.
Yeah. There are no fire trucks in Florida. It's all nice. Austin sounds dangerous.
I think I'm still just attached to like. I don't want to run away from anything, though. I don't want to run away from my life or my fears.
Imagine this. Imagine you had the inspiration to say, my life as of 8/18 is up to me. I can choose to do whatever I want. I can choose to renew a lease somewhere else, get a roommate, do this, do that, blah, 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 same old thing. But my inspiration is to go on Facebook, just on Facebook, and see what someone else has. And then lo and behold, you get a reply, and someone says, come to Florida. Well, don't you think that's part of this journey? Of this inspiration, don't you think that there's guidance in that? There's intelligence in that?
Yeah. Okay. So here's the other part. I don't share much with many people. And the one person that I did share that idea with, they had responses like, I mean, essentially, like, how can you trust this person that you met on Joshua? What if, like, basically, like, how could you put all your faith into something that this person is offering?
Yeah, you should protect yourself at all costs because you're a victim and you're not the creator of your reality. So protect yourself, stay in your little apartment, don't go outside, don't talk to strangers, don't cross the street, don't do anything, just stay there and be safe.
It was also the thought that, like, wherever you go, there you are. So if you think you're going to go there and something's going to be better than it is here. And so then I had fear. I mean, I know this is all my own fears somehow, but then I had fear. I'm like, well, if I've been feeling bad here, I'm going to feel bad there. And then
yeah,
it just,
you will. If you're going to feel bad, if you think going there is going to make you feel good, it's not. But the universe is saying, go here, go here. Go here. The universe is not saying go here to feel good. The universe is saying go here for the experience and expansion of it. Go here and be open to it. Go here and learn from it. And your desire is to feel good. You're going to feel good or not feel good. That's on you, not on who you're with or where you are. You're going to come to some realization. Like everyone else who feels good at some point realizes that the conditions don't make you feel good. It's your choice to feel good. Okay. Now, a lot of people have it a little bit easier. They come in a pretty easy situation, a lot of people do. And those people who feel good say, it's normal to feel good, I feel good, and if something bad happens, I understand that, well, that's just the way it is, it's not going to ruin my day. Those are the people who naturally feel good. The rest of you are saying, if something bad happens, well, I know it's for me. I know it's for my benefit, I know it's pointing out a limiting belief. I understand that the basis of this reality is to feel good. I've been brought up not to feel good. I've been brought up to feel fear rather than feeling good. And so my default is to feel bad, but I'm going to choose to feel good because I know that everything good comes from feeling good. This inspiration to go onto Facebook and to see, hey, what else is out there, it does not come from a place of feeling bad. It does not come from a place of running away. It comes from a place of inspiration. From somehow in that moment of alignment, you receive the inspiration. It's not the urge to run away. Yeah, we will say that for sure. So we say, brilliant idea. We say, when you receive inspiration to act, and you act, you're going to feel fear at the next step. That's just how it is.
Yeah.
You're either going to push
through
the fear in faith and courage, or you're going to be in resistance and not do anything and stay safe. But you don't need to stay safe. You're fine. You know this person. You know this group. Your friend is living in the old approach to life of the victim and does not know this group.
Yeah.
You will be supported.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
What's the consensus of the group? What should she do?
Go to
Florida. She should totally go to Florida.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Just don't go in August.
And what about that date? 8/18/18.
I know.
Wow.
The timing. Oh my God. I didn't even think of 18 at the end.
Yeah.
The timing of all of it was just, I guess, serendipitous.
Divine.
But
divine.
Yeah.
Does the thought of being in Florida feel good?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I said, does the thought of being in Florida feel good?
Yes.
Like the idea of it?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. But again, I am the person that goes to step 50 on everything.
You're not the person. Everyone does that. Everyone goes to step 50. Yeah. You just have to learn to go to step 1, step 2, step 3, just like everyone else.
Because I'm already like, well, I need to get this, and I need to prepare for a smaller arc case, and I have to do this, and I'm like, and then I get overwhelmed, and then I get overwhelmed in my thoughts, and then I get depressed because it feels like too much, and then I go into, and then I sink, and I go down.
Yeah, and then that's the work is. The work is realizing that the limiting beliefs are causing you to feel this, right? The limiting beliefs are causing you to feel the fear.
Yeah.
Now, if you didn't have those limiting beliefs, you couldn't feel the fear. And the limiting beliefs are those things that are holding you apart from all that you desire. So that's the wonderful thing about feeling fear, is you get to identify the limiting beliefs. What's the limiting belief? Something bad can happen. What's the limiting belief? I won't enjoy myself. What's the limiting belief? I won't feel better once I'm there. I'll feel worse. What's the limiting belief? All this stuff. None of it matters. And when you push through that fear to do what you're inspired to do, you're going to get to a place and you're going to feel confident. You're going to feel excited. The confidence is going to grow. And the next time a fear comes up, it'll be a little bit easier to push through it, a little bit easier to identify it, a little bit easier to analyze it, and a little bit easier to process it so that it's less intense in the future. And that's how you build confidence, and that's how you move forward when inspired to all the things. The fact that you're receiving inspiration is a wonderful sign. The fact that you're considering it is a wonderful sign. The fact that you're talking about it to other people is a wonderful sign. The fact that you realize that your friend doesn't know anything, is reacting in fear as a victim, is a wonderful sign. The fact that you can see all this from a higher perspective is a wonderful sign. You wouldn't receive this inspiration if you weren't ready for it. It couldn't happen. It'd be impossible. You have to have, you have to be a vibrational match. Yeah. And so somehow you made yourself a vibrational match to the idea of it. You've gotten yourself in the position of it, and it is the next logical step. So go there, see what you have to learn, and then go to the next thing. Be open for the next thing. Who knows what's going to happen when you get there? You don't have to plan so far ahead. You planning far ahead just makes it a little tougher. Just makes it a little more scary. Going with the flow, there are people who go with the flow. There are some people out there who go with the flow. If you can go with the flow a little bit more, you'll just realize how magical life is.
I feel like that's what one of the benefits this change is, because it's going to put me into, this is what I feel, or what I envision. It would put me into an environment where I would essentially be forced to go with the flow, because everything would be unknown and everything would be new, and I would have a choice in every moment. Whereas when I'm somewhere that I'm so comfortable with and I have these escapes from myself, and I mean, I'll still have those there, but it's like a playground of, it feels like it'll be a playground of the next step.
What you can do is notice how you're just being taken care of. You'll just notice. You're just being taken care of. I'm being taken care of in this moment. And this is the only moment that matters. And I'm being taken care of. And things are working out. And I don't have to worry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Excellent. Would anyone else like to say anything?
Well, I have a quick question for you, Joshua. Astrid wanted me to ask. We had an amazing time together. It was very, very cool. But, here's the but, we were both really exhausted when we were together. And we were just wondering what that was all about.
Imagine the energy of you two together.
Right.
Psychic. Manic. High. Low. Everything going on all the time. Expectations. You in a foreign land. She in a homeland feeling foreign.
Mm-mm.
Her expectations. Your expectations. Your belief system. Her belief system. You working in unison. The fact that you've paired up two people from literally across the planet on the other side of each other. Paired up. What is that? You know, how does that happen? How does it happen that she can be so drawn to you and you can be so drawn to her, and that you can be so much different than you are now as opposed to just a couple of years ago, and she is so much different now than she is a couple of years ago, and that you both have one foot in the old approach, you both have a foot in the new approach, you're both the only people you know really who can talk like you can talk to each other.
Right.
Yep. And still, she wants to be, you know, she wants you to like her. You want her to like you. She wants not you, you know, you not to think she's strange. You know, all these things, right? And so this energy of that whole thing. Now, if you were together you know, living in the same town, going to lunch occasionally, and being together for a year, that energy would be different. But because it was so intense at that one time, you know,
yeah.
because there was fears and love and passion and interest and things all working together, it was a high vibrational time that just caused you to move a lot of energy around. And in that moving of energy around, you needed a break. The reason you sleep is not to energize your body, it's to energize your soul, who finds reality highly intense and vivid. And there's a lot of processing going on that. And so when you sleep, you get to, you know, ease the energies of the day. And you get to realign yourself with the non-physical. And that's why when you wake up in the morning after something, you feel a little bit better. And if you have a big issue or something traumatic happen, you know, eventually you're going to wake up in the morning and feel better about it. The sleep is what does that for you. And imagine here you are in a different time zone with a different sleep cycle and all that as well.
Yeah.
Plus you're active too. Your body is moving around too. You're probably eating a lot too.
Yes, especially with Astrid. Yeah.
But that energy can be managed if you know what's happening. You know, it's much more energetically drained to be someone who's miserable.
Yeah, you know. That's true.
Yeah, because that is the energy of being out of alignment. And that in alignment, you're receiving all the energy of the universe. Gary is in alignment now, and he is highly energized, and the energy is flowing through him easily. And after this, he'll be sweaty and exhausted, but still energized, you know. Mm-hmm. And when you're with a person who's also in alignment, well, there's a lot of energy there. When you're with a person who's in alignment but feels fear, there's a lot of moving in and out of alignment there. When you're a person who's constantly feeling fear, there's no energy flowing. And if you let them bring you out of alignment, then there's no energy flowing for you too. No. That's why you're of no use to someone if you fall out of alignment because they're out of alignment. If they need help and you see them in help, you fall out of alignment and you're of no service to them. In alignment, in high energy alignment, once you get used to it, everything flows, well-being flows, everything's happy, everything is as it should be. Everything is as Kyla's kids are throwing around the ball in the apartment, laughing and having a good time, right? Until you're Kyla and you're in it too much, and then the energy's cut off a bit, and then you're exhausted from trying to maintain the energy or maintain an energy you think you should be having at the time too. Right.
Oh.
Yeah. So imagine just if you were in a natural world, living a natural life, free from the fears of your society. You accepted everyone for who they were, and you had absolutely no care about what they thought of you, ever. You could be naked and free in front of everyone. And whether or not they judged you or had clothes on or not, you would not care. You would be expressing love and accepting them 100% and accepting yourself 100%. You would be receiving full alignment and full energy from that. You would sleep a little bit at night, a little bit in the daytime, right? You sleep twice a day. It would be a natural. You'd have nothing you needed to get done. You would have no cares. You would have no fears. Now, in that sense, you would be in full alignment most of the time. In your world, you have a fear about what people think of you. They have a fear about what you think of them. You have a fear of what you need to get done, where you have to go, what is the responsibility of this person, what's your responsibility. You're traveling to another country, right? You have an idea of what that should be like, what that whole trip should look like. You have this plan in your head. Astrid has a plan for how to entertain you, where you should go. She wants to make the country look good. She wants to make herself look good. She wants you to be happy. She wants to enjoy time with you. She has an agenda. You have an agenda. And so all you can do is use these words to communicate. Well, the words don't really work, do they?
No.
You're only saying a few sentences to each other. There's not any real deep meaning. But the connection you have is so much deeper than the words. And so you have one level of energy going of love. You love and accept Astrid for who she is.
Yes.
Probably more than anyone else she knows. She loves and accepts you for who you are. However, she doesn't fully love and accept herself for who she is, and you don't fully love and accept yourself for who you are.
Mm. Yeah.
You accept her more than you accept herself. She accepts you before she accepts herself, right?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
where the energy thing goes in. Here she is totally accepting you. Here you are totally accepting her. Yet you're a little bit worried about what she thinks, and she's worried about what you think. Mm. You're trying to make her feel good. She's trying to make you feel good. And there's an energy mix up in there. And that's what's exhausting about it. Have you ever been with someone where you were totally comfortable with them? Where there was no need to do anything? There's, that energy is totally different. Right. It's not exhausting for one thing.
Right.
You know, it's not as exciting, but it's certainly not exhausting. It's fun and comfortable and easy and nice, but it's not exhilarating. Not all the time, anyway. You know, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Hmm.
So that energy is also fine. You know, imagine having that energy and having this, you know, time together and knowing what's going on and knowing that you can't really do anything about it. And realizing that, yeah, we're going to have fun together, but it's going to be exhausting. You know, we're going to be exhausted at this. And then if you think being exhausting is wrong, well, then you're just making, you know, taking yourself out of alignment in that little bit. But imagine going in there knowing that this energy is so high and so all over the place that you're going to be exhausted. That you can
like the land cruises.
Yeah.
No, really, that's exactly how I felt. Like I'd come home from a land cruise.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the future then, how can we prepay for this? Like, if she comes to visit, how do we prepay to be more, you know, like more aligned, I guess, when we're together? Well, we were aligned,
yes.
though.
But so what you're saying here is the exhausting part was the part that you would like to change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's wrong. No.
Yeah. How about this? Okay. Realize you're going to be exhausted.
Okay.
And look forward to the exhaustion.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you exhausted yet? Well, not really. Are you exhausted yet? Well, I thought I'd be more exhausted by now. Well, it's 8 o'clock, and it's still light here in Norway for another 7 hours, but I think I should go to bed now. Yeah. And then you sleep in.
Yeah. No, we did. We honored our sleep patterns, so that was good.
Yeah.
So
there's
did.
Nothing wrong with being exhausted. Exhausted is part and parcel of this magical relationship you have.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Find more people that will exhaust you.
Well, they're pretty much on this call.
Excellent. Good. All right. Is there anyone else?
Yes. It's Isabel Joshua.
Isabel.
Hello.
Hello.
So I was wondering if you know anything about this. I stumbled across it's matter that's called ECK, E-C-K. I've never really heard about it before, but it was on a channeled message that Kimberly asked me to watch, and so I did. And it was talking about this matter, ECK, which is it's something to do with the blood plasma, but there's also, when I researched it, I found there are masters of Ekinkar. And I was just like, this is just so curious. But is there such a thing as ECK? Was there masters of Ekinkar, of this ECK? What do you know about this?
What does it's a matter in the blood.
I'm not sure, Joshua.
Has it to do with the physical body?
I think it does, yes.
And
I think It's similar to ectoplasma.
So, imagine that. What you see as matter, as all matter, whether it's in a body, in a table, in a tree, in electricity, in power lines, flowing electricity, as blood vessels flow blood, as there's energy in that power line, but the energy is not useful for anything unless it's converted. Right?
Oh,
so
okay.
There's energy in the blood as well, but there's no energy per se in the blood. So what you sort of think is happening here is that you eat something, the food goes into the blood, but the energy comes from a non-physical source, okay, that makes the whole thing work. It has to be transformed. And there is, we're not calling it ACK. You can call it whatever you want. But there's a mechanism in there that allows energy to flow through this process or not. It converts it to energy. But the real energy is in its alignment. That with full alignment, then the energy of whatever you want to eat, it doesn't matter what you want to eat. Really, it doesn't matter. You could literally eat anything. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
That is connected really well. And this is more often so in children, because children are naturally aligned, right? And so children generally can process food well, unless there's some agreement that they've made to experience something different, right? But generally, in younger people who are more aligned, this turns on. But those who are more resistant, then it gums up this mechanism. And therefore, they might get allergies, they might have a difficulty processing certain foods, they might have a reaction to foods, they might have sort of things. And then, so you blame the food. You say, no more gluten for you, no more peanuts for you, no more whatever for you. No more fat, no more sugar, no more whatever it is. No more bacon. That's a big one. Bacon, right? You say, okay, well, this is the cause of this clogged arteries, this is because it's all resistance-based. And the resistance is not allowing the well-being to flow that comes from being in alignment. In alignment, this system is fully turned on. It's fully functional, right? And you need way less than you think. You need way less. You need way less food than you think you do.
Yeah.
In fact, there will come a time when you're not really eating what you're eating now. Because what you're eating now is just an excuse, you know, just an excuse for this and for that. And it just works for now. But you'll be moving to a new level that is more focused on receiving the energy through alignment and then making everything a little bit more effective in that. But we say, allow the system to work, whatever you want to call it, by being in alignment as much as you can without thinking of all the details. Eating whatever you're inspired to eat, realizing that whatever you eat will be processed properly if you're in alignment. But if you're holding grief and grudges and resentment and regrets and thinking things should be better than they are and thinking your food should be different than it is and worrying about your food and worrying about your water and all these things, you're just taking yourself out of alignment. And this gums up this process of taking the energy that's in the bloodstream and maximizing it or converting it properly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there are people who could eat anything and they have an aligned belief system, which they believe that however it works for them, whether they don't care if they live or die is one thing. It doesn't matter to them. They're going to have fun doing whatever they're doing, right? Or they are spiritually focused in a way that is very allowing. But you're going to find that a lot of the most spiritual people are the ones who are fighting against foods the most. Right? And in that fighting against food, they are narrowing it down. They're saying, this is good and that's bad. And we say from the very beginning, the first word, we say there is no bad. there is no wrong. Because this idea of wrong is just going to gum up your system.
Yeah.
You want this thing, this body to flow easily. You want it to work perfectly. And the way you do that is by realizing the only thing that matters is alignment. Feeling good, being free, having faith that everything is here for you to get whatever you want and not trying to protect yourself. Because if you think that eating one food over another food, eating one food's good and the other food's bad, if you think that, then you have to think you're a victim.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're inspired to eat Brussels sprouts, that's one thing. But if you're saying, I'm eating Brussels sprouts because everything else is bad, that's going to be gumming up the system, and the Brussels sprouts aren't going to help you. Because the Brussels sprouts have nothing to do with it. It has to do with your alignment and your belief system. Your belief system has to do with your alignment, right? Malleable beliefs.
Yes.
Malleable beliefs. Keep your beliefs open. Realize the system is here to support you so that you can explore reality any way you want, right? And you're the creator. You create through this exploration of expansion. And nothing matters. Nothing's important. Nothing's wrong. There is no wrong. If you think it's wrong, you're just going to gum up the system. So
let me ask you this.
So we will say that ek is the substance that is working with the non-physical energy to convert everything you need, to convert non-physical energy into what you can use, into a useful thing.
Your body, like Gary doesn't eat pasta. I don't know if he still doesn't eat pasta, but he,
Gary,
you know, when
he loves pasta.
I know he does. But remember the diet book, like how do you feel, like eat an apple, see how you feel in an hour, and your body will tell you like, hey, I love apples. No, I don't like apples.
Right. No, you can like apples, but you can see if your specific body resists apples or not.
Okay, so is that in alignment if my body's resisting apples?
So you have a vibration, right? This is a test to see how your vibration is right now. Your vibration is a mix of all the resistance and all the allowing, all the beliefs
right.
and all the things.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, could you have an apple and have a reaction and say to yourself, apples are good for me?
Yes.
You could say that, but you wouldn't believe it because it would go against
right.
every physical evidence that you have, right?
Right. You're sick. You feel sick.
Yeah,
right.
If you have this reaction, right? Now, is it wrong to have a negative reaction to apples? No, it's not wrong at all. It's just what it is. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
proof that Gary is not a vibrational match to apples, or at least a raw apple on that one day. Right? It's not right or wrong, but it's something in his vibration that doesn't match that. And so when he has an apple, that apple is not processed in his body. Now, living in a natural state, As a child, he ate apples all the time. Had no problems with apples then. As a child, bringing forth energy easily without resistance, that's a different thing. You could do the same test to Gary in 1965, 1968,
right.
and say, oh, no reaction to apples, right? So he is a product of the resistance that is built up in the belief system and his vibration right now. And so in that vibration, the Joshua diet is saying, as you are now, what's most effective for you? What are you a vibrational match to? Now, he would have thought that the apple was good for him, right? And that his body digested the apple easily.
Right.
Because he has this belief system that apples are good for you. Everyone does. An apple a day keeps the doctor away. But but based on his vibration, the apple was something that he could not process easily. And so, as his state is now, in order for him to create the lean body that he wants, the apple's not effective in that. Of course, we could say, Gary, get rid of all your resistance.
Right, and then he could eat the apple.
And he would instantly be his perfect, his normal,
right.
The body that he was born with. It would take that shape. The reason he doesn't have the body that is his natural body right now is because he has resistance and he has a vibration with some resistance in it. Now, everyone has a vibration with some resistance in it. some people have lots of resistance and some people have a little resistance. And as you are all here on this call and interested in these teachings, you're all working on lowering the resistance. You'll never get rid of the resistance. You can just reduce the intensity of that resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So don't worry about it, because nothing you can do about it anyway. You're doing what you can do. You're doing what you can do to reduce resistance. And that's all you can do. You have limiting beliefs. You will never get rid of them. You can't. This is an attractive universe. Once you've attracted those beliefs, yeah, which many of you did on purpose, once those beliefs were attracted, they're with you forever. Your job now is to modulate the intensity of those beliefs. You can ramp those beliefs up like a lot of people do. A lot of people will talk about the negative, talk about the things they're afraid of, share them with their friend, and be encouraged that their friends have the same negative beliefs that they do. Right? Or you can process those beliefs on your own. You can analyze them. You can say, that's not for me. That doesn't affect me. That isn't something I'm interested in. I'll leave that to someone else. I'm focused on that. And move towards your preferences. Yeah. See, if this was a natural world free from the fears of your society, it would be very boring. It would be very boring. You would just run around in glee talking about the positive things and doing fun things, but you would never birth any desires because there'd be no contrast. So in this world, you get saddled with some limiting beliefs and you get some contrast, but you also get so many interesting things to focus on and to do and to experience and to expand from. And you birth these desires that are incredible. And these desires bring forth new things into this reality that were never there before. And in doing that, you serve the thing you came here to do. You came here to be a conduit, to bring things from the non-physical to the physical, and you do that really through contrast, because contrast bursts all these great desires. Because if you just lived with the intentions you set prior to your birth, you would do whatever you could do to focus on loving yourself, loving everyone else, expressing love, living in joy, living in abundance and freedom, right? That's what you would do. And since nobody does that, we're pretty sure that you're interested in all the other stuff, in the expansion through experience. And if you want to call that experience bad, well, that's up to you. And if you want to call it good, that's up to you too. It's your choice. So you are what you are. And you can do anything you want to do in this reality. Literally anything. You can be whatever you want to be. All you have to do all you want to do, is process fear. And the way you process fear, really, the real way you do it, is the moment you get a thought that brings forth a little bit of negative emotion, the first inkling of that thought, the way you process fear is realizing that that is a fearful thought. And that is a thought that is not true. That thought is limiting. That thought is based on a limiting belief. That thought is an irrational fear. Even if it's a regret about something someone did to you in your past, even if it's a thing that you think you may have done in the past, that is based in the past. It's not present now, except for you thinking about it now. And you can stop it in its tracks and think differently about it and take a different perspective and realize that you know more now and you're different now and you can handle that fear now. And the reason that fear comes up, guess what? Guess why it comes up? So that you can know that you still have a limiting belief. Because if that thought came up and you said, oh, that was just me when I was 15, no big deal, poof, it's gone. What? Then you know the intensity of that limiting belief is so low it doesn't matter. But if you ignore that thought and think it's a wrong thought or a bad thought or whatever, or if you maintain the thought, if you dwell on the thought, if you keep it going, if you talk about it, if you bring it up, if you blog about it, if you write an article about it, if you think it's wrong, if you make it a big deal, then you're just perpetuating the momentum of that thought and that limiting belief. And you're making it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so by the time you're 85, that thought will be so strong in your vibration that you will be living that thought. No, you know better now. Mm-hmm. You know what to do now. That's the work. Those are the teachings. This is a life of exploration. You're exploring it whether you're listening to us or not, whether you're doing the work or not. you're exploring, expanding, it'll all be worthwhile. We just say there's a more effective way to do it. There's a more fun way to do it. And the limiting thoughts are limiting you from doing what you came here to do, to expand in these, you know, areas of joy and love and passion and interest. They are keeping you smaller than you intended to be. You intended to be big, huge, magnificent. And as you see yourself as those things, then your reality has to reflect that. Are you afraid of that? Well, maybe you are. But when you're ready for it, it's going to be exciting. And you can be ready for it anytime. And with that, guess what?
We are complete.
We're complete. Excellent.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.